Hundreds of residents in central Mississippi have not been able to return to their homes after days of heavy rain and flooding. In the capital of Jackson, the Pearl River crested yesterday at 36.8 feet, the third highest level on record. More heavy rains are expected throughout the night, and forecasters say some areas could experience flash flooding, making the situation much worse. Turning now to another story about water. Throughout the United States, water scarcity is a big concern. According to a study published in the Journal of Earth's Future, by 2071, it's estimated that nearly half of the 204 freshwater basins in the United States may not be able to meet the monthly demand for water. One alternative source is through a process called desalination. That's when salt water is converted into fresh water. The state of California recently approved $34 million for 8 desalination facilities across the state. But for most, this process can be expensive and could have a huge impact on the environment. Joining us now is Megan Motter, a research director for the National Alliance for Water Innovation. She's also an associate professor of civil and environmental engineering at Stanford University. Megan, welcome.
Thank you.
So converting salt water into fresh water, on the surface, this seems like such an easy fix to the problems of water scarcity, but it is not easy. It's actually a pretty complicated process. Can we start first with the sheer cost of desalination? It's sometimes, I'm reading, 2 to 4 times as costly as traditional options of water conservation.
Yes. So the technology that you use to desalinate really dictates the cost, but broadly, 2 to 10 times the cost of traditional freshwater sources is somewhere in the right ballpark.
Yeah. What are some solutions to bringing the cost down?
So some of that cost is associated with the embedded energy of simply separating salt from water. In fact, thermodynamics is going to limit the amount of cost reductions or energy intensity reductions that we could be expected to achieve solely through technology innovation. Hmm. Instead, the National Alliance for Water Innovation is really built on the premise that to drop costs and to reduce energy intensity, we need to look at the broader network of water management in order to drop those costs. So broadly, the costs of managing water are the combination of the costs of treating water plus the costs of distributing water and collecting wastewater. So one of the things that we're really excited about is moving from a paradigm in which we are sourcing water from the sea or from freshwater sources, using it once and then discharging it, to a paradigm in which we are using water desalination technologies to enable a circular water economy with a great deal of distributed desalination and fit-for-purpose reuse.
Mm. How far along is this industry in that process, the latter process?
So our technologies today are really built for large-scale desalination installations, and we're really not yet able to do small-scale desalination at a cost-effective level.
The other argument against desalination on a broad scale is that it's bad for the environment and human health. I'm just curious from you, what are some ways that desalination could be more environmentally friendly on this large scale that you're talking about?
There are many aspects to sort of environmental impacts of water treatment broadly and desalination in particular. And so we believe moving towards this distributed desalination and reuse paradigm, where we're deploying desalination at a smaller scale, will actually help us get around a lot of the environmental impacts of desalination in a couple of ways. It'll drop the overall energy intensity of that combined treatment and distribution. And second, novel ways of managing concentrate at smaller scales will help us avoid the need to do lots of seawater desalination to augment supply.
Hmm. At Stanford, you focus on policies around this issue, and you recently got substantial funding for your research with the National Alliance for Water Innovation. How does the urgency of climate change propel you and your research to find solutions?
Yeah, so climate change is a real motivator for a lot of my work. We both expect climate to have a lot of impact on freshwater availability, both the amount of water that's available, but also the timing at which that water is delivered or naturally stored. And, you know, I think the other thing that we need to think about is that the process of decarbonizing our electricity system or our energy system is itself going to require lots of water treatment capabilities. So growing biofuels would require water. Storing carbon in the subsurface will require that we treat produced brines from subsurface storage. And so thinking about the water and energy system as deeply connected is a real motivating factor in my work. Underlying that is a tremendous need for new desalination technologies that integrate well with the electricity system. For instance, we can think about electrified treatment trains that can actually provide demand response services to the grid, as well as a set of technologies that can support the specific treatment needs associated with that decarbonized economy.
Hmm. Do you feel that municipalities in the U.S. should wait to open up these desalination plants until researchers can fine-tune how they operate better? I'm just thinking about this desalination has now kind of been hailed as a possible solution to so much when it comes to water conservation and water crises throughout the world.
I think it's very important to think about seawater desalination as one part of a much broader water portfolio. In the same way that we don't rely solely on solar PV panels to provide electricity, we shouldn't be thinking about relying solely on next generation desalination facilities to provide water. Mm-hmm. Having desalination facilities does provide a very important function to municipalities, though. It provides a source of water supply with great reliability. So, you know, it's not subject to drought, to changes in fluctuations in precipitation, changes in snowpack up in the Sierras, et cetera. And of course, what I'm saying is very California focused, but it applies all across the country where some years you have higher water supplies and some years you have lower water supplies. Desalination is more costly and is more energy intensive than those traditional sources, but it provides resiliency to municipalities that isn't provided by some of these more traditional water sources. I do think that building in that resiliency is of critical importance for municipalities. I think it's also critically important for municipalities to think about other sources of resiliency. So as you mentioned, that could be through water conservation. That could be through ensuring the safety and longevity of water storage. And that could be through supporting water reuse inside of the municipalities, whether at a very local level by specific industries, or more broadly within the municipality through wastewater reuse. Mm. So there are many different sources that can help to provide resiliency. I think seawater desalination provides a tremendous amount of resiliency value, and it also has the effect of capping the price, you know, for which municipalities are willing to pay for water. So they're not going to pay more than it costs to build, maintain, and operate a seawater desalination facility.
Megan Motter is Research Director for the National Alliance for Water Innovation. She's also an Associate Professor of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Stanford University. Megan, thank you so much.
Thank you.